You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Howdy, y'all. This is Bob Nightingale, America's so-called sweetheart. He says what Liam says. I'm not sure about that, but you listen up, Pod and Lansdowne.
Embarrassing for you to not have a green hat, Liam. A, when Jake also has a green hat ready to roll today. And B, I know it's a day after St. Patrick's Day, but it was just St. Patrick's Day. And you didn't have some green attire that you could throw on? I'm disappointed in you.
Sorry, I got orange on, if that counts. I'm a unionist.
No! First of all, it's gold this month. You refer to it as gold at this point. But yeah, no, it is an Orioles shirt. A Bob Nightingale-approved shirt that you have on right now.
This is our St. Patrick's Day episode, so I think the green hats are fine.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's St. Patrick's month as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
You know, the entire month of March. We're just going to keep it rolling, baby. You'd be surprised, you know, Boston being such a massive, you know, Irish-American population, you know. I know, quiet as it's kept, there are a lot of Irish people around Boston. We go into town right by the Garden, and it's like empty at Hurricanes. Yesterday, I mean, everyone was in Southie. I understand that, but even then,
you couldn't pay me $1,000 to go to Southie on St. Patrick's
Did it once, Day. Jake. Never will do it again.
Yeah,
I don't even know. Like, the logistics of getting over there just scare me. Between the masses of humanity on the T, or like just trying to Uber over there and the cost, it just sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. Do it once just to say you did it. I mean, you don't need it. Not even that. No, you don't have to say that you did it. Just do something else on St. Patrick's Day.
Not worth it.
No, not at all.
I will say, I got back from the cinema Saturday afternoon, and the line outside Game On was wrapped around Jersey Street, like nearly to the old Fenway trees. And I was like, what? Why would you ever do that? Just go drink at somebody's like apartment.
That right? Well, anything specific at Game On for St. Patty's?
That basement gets scary.
I mean, there was definitely music downstairs. I could hear it.
That basement gets scary. I got lost in there once.
At Blazing Paddles.
Yeah. Oh, is that
that really what it's called?
Game On, the downstairs where the ping pong is.
Well, yeah, it's on weekends. It's like a club. Or okay. Not a club, but like loud.
I've only been there after Sox games. So. Oh,
okay, yeah, I went there when I was in school. I went there and I got lost in the basement. I couldn't find my friends, and it was like, it's disorienting down there too because the lights. It's really dark, and they do like the strobe thing, so you can only see every other second or whatever.
Every fifth frame.
It's spooky.
Down there.
Give me
a seizure.
It's not for me. It's not for me. Are you an epileptic, Liam?
No, but I think just that environment, it's overwhelming.
You guys know the Pokemon thing where all the Japanese kids got seizures from that episode of the Pokemon anime?
I did not.
Oh. Well, if anybody, for our listeners, it's an interesting story if anybody wants to go read about it. I won't spoil it, but
Crowded bars nowadays, yeah, not for me. Not at all. Officially washed. That's Lisan Al-Hayim, a.k.a.
Al-Hayim.
Al-Hayim. Beg pardon. Thank you for
that's
the
That's what
question.
I was going for.
We're also joined by Jake, a.k.a. Jake.
I didn't have it in me today. I couldn't think of one.
I almost went with my own name, too. I was like, I don't know.
It's easier when the season gets going and like things happen.
I was gonna say, guys, we're less than two weeks away from opening day. I need you to kind of pick up the pace here. It'll be fine.
We're still
in spring training mode, as you can tell. I'm Scott Podsednik, aka Fitz. This is Pod on Lansdowne. We're happy you could join us.
Certain you've used Scott Podsednik before.
I've probably run through this a couple of times. You know what I mean? I go through a process. One week, I'm like, you know what? This is a 99 Sox day. Or like, you know what? I'm feeling like the 2015 Sox. Look through. And the first guy that makes me chuckle, I'll throw in there. And today it was Scott Podsednik. Because I kind of forgot that he was on the Red Sox for a hot second. And he was obviously on the White Sox.
2012 legend, man. Come on.
Yes, exactly. I did not go with the affable Cody Ross or the jovial Mike Avilas for this episode, but maybe down the line, I'm sure FSG Brass will appreciate if I pull out one of them. But no, it's good to have you in. Welcome back into the show. A couple of Red Sox notes to get into, and a burning question I want to ask you folks later on in the episode. Nice big old tease there. But again, we are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the 2024 season for the Red Sox. And shit, we got some actual baseball this week, fellas, over in Korea.
Yeah.
Was that Wednesday and Thursday?
Yeah, I looked it up earlier. It's only at 6:05. I thought it was going to be like 3 a.m.
I'm
pleasantly surprised. Well, yeah. Sorry, Jake. Sorry, West Coast.
Because I'm in L.A. I didn't know if you knew it, but...
I will not be watching.
But the LA writer of the show couldn't think of a name other than Jake for the screen name today. That's disheartening. Relax. Kevin Hart memes.
Relax.
We're still working out the kinks. Spring training mode.
What, that's a 2-game series for the Dads and the Doyers?
It is.
Yeah. Gotcha. Reminds me of when we started out in Japan in 2008. That was a 2-game series against Oakland, wasn't it?
Yes.
Start the 2008 season? Yeah, I believe so.
They send Oakland over there a lot. I don't know what for, but...
Well, it's they're on the coast.
I know, but...
Sending us there. I maintain, and I've had this conversation with my dad before in the past, I maintain that if we don't have to start the season in Japan and then have to go over to Southern California to play at the Coliseum for another spring training game against the Dodgers, jumping all over the place to start in 2008... Maybe we have the legs to win another championship in 2008, but
that's interesting, Fitz.
Yeah, I understand that's a real early in the season, and lost Game 7 in October. But
yeah, I mean, it's not like they didn't make the playoffs; like they did. There's some holes in that theory, but
Tito in his book said that's the best team he ever managed.
That team was a fucking wagon.
That book was written 10 years ago. I don't know if that has changed for him
personally.
I don't know. I mean, talent-wise.
I think 07 was better than 08.
But by then, I mean, you had an established Pedroia. Ellsbury had a full season.
Yeah, you have MVP Pedroia.
Won the rookie of the year. Well, okay.
Yeah, but that was his MVP season.
And then, arguably, Youkilis should have won the MVP over him, too. Youk was amazing in 08.
What was wasn't like the 1-2-3? It was like Pedroia, Jeter, and Youkilis?
Sounds about... Maybe more No was in there, or Maurer, like one of those twins.
Pedroia winning an MVP is... kind of absurd.
Insane.
Like, I know he was good, but that's like not a guy that would
it was,
have, I don't know. That's just unbelievable.
The total narrative ball. The chip
was
on his
it
shoulder.
Though? Like what, like
short
on the
guy.
Were the
I'm looking,
war,
I'm looking
like,
up
was
that.
War,
I don't know. Didn't know. He had like a shit ton of doubles that year. I remember that.
I'm looking up his line right now.
Wasn't Victor Martinez the two? That's who I thought the
no,
two.
No, V-Mart was 09, I believe, right? We didn't get him in 08. If memory
no,
serves.
No, no, I'm saying, wasn't he second in MVP voting?
Oh, he might have. Liam, could you look at the MVP voting for this?
For 2008?
I was going to start with the 2024 Red Sox bit, but no, we're going into the 2008 Red Sox right now. We're
Oh, no, it was Justin Morneau. I don't know why I said Victor Martinez.
Right. Pedroia, Morneau, Youkilis, Maurer, and Carlos Quentin, shout out, runner up fifth.
Pedroia did have the highest war in the AL, so...
What was that? B war or F war are we looking at?
We're looking at B war.
What did he have?
He had 7.
Have? Ooh. Triple slash line here for Pedroia in 08. 326, 376, 493. It's like damn near 500. 869 OPS, 123 OPS plus. You mentioned doubles. He led the league, Liam, with 54, 213 hits, 17 homers, 83 ribbies, 118 runs. Obviously, you know, that's dependent on other Morneau, things.
How did Morneau? How the fuck did Morneau get better votes than Uke? That's the real fucked up part of this.
Well, Uke
has an OPS almost 100 points higher than Morneau's.
Yeah, people who were voting for those fucking awards didn't recognize what OPS was like until Obama's like second term.
Milton Bradley had a higher WAR than Morneau.
The Milton Bradley, the very same.
Milton Bradley, baby.
Who led the league in WAR? Albert. Wow, the NL MVP voting is fun. You've got Pujols with 9.2 WAR.
Oh my god,
wins it, and then in second is Ryan Howard with his 1.8 WAR.
But he make ball go far.
Five tool player, Ryan Howard.
That's really funny. Howard wasn't even good that year. I mean, he hit 48 home runs, but his slash line.
His slash line's
like,
gross.
Fine. Yes, 251, 339, 543.
Ryan Howard's awesome because he just had like 2 or 3 years where he was this amazing hitter. All things considered, I mean, he won an MVP, what, like 06, 07 around that time?
He had like two really. He really only had one really good year.
Well, what was it in 2006?
He went.
06.
No, but
monster.
When did he tear his Achilles?
That was 11.
That was 2011.
That was 11. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the final out. That game's a classic, man. Oh my god. Halladay versus was Carpenter too.
That's the no hitter, isn't it?
Is that the 1-0 game? No. Game 5.
Like, yeah. Where Halladay was a year before the no hitter.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. One of my favorite things about that Philly, this is a little fun fact for everybody, about that Phillies sort of era is they win the World Series in 08, and then every year after that, they like do
they got
one
better.
Thing. No, they get a little worse by postseason. So they win the World Series, then
lose
they
the World
lose
Series.
In the World Series, then they lose in the NLCS, then the DS, and then they don't make the playoffs.
By the time 6 years later, they have the first overall pick.
Yeah,
their record got progressively better though, didn't it?
Oh yeah,
they got bounced earlier each year.
Yeah, who was that? Apple Appel,
Mark Appel? No, Mickey Moniak, right? Didn't they pick him first? Like I jokingly said, they got the first pick, but they did get the first pick. One of those like mid 2010s years, right?
Yeah, Mark Appel was like 12 or 13, wasn't he?
No, what? No, but that wasn't. He ended up there after the fact. He was an Astros pick, wasn't
Mickey
he?
Moniak? No, or Mark Appel.
No, Appel. Okay, yeah, sorry. Mixing up my Astros and Phillies.
2015,
Because the Astros kind of had a Cavaliers run where they got the first overall
pick. Yeah, Fitz, you're right.
Mickey
Moniak, yeah, first overall.
Yeah, 2016, there you go.
That's right, Fitz.
How about that?
Wow, good. Well, that was fun, huh?
I like nostalgia.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I love our late aughts Phillies and Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's a good crack there. That was a good crack to keep it with the St. Patrick's Day theme.
Shane Victorino. There you go. There's our link.
There we go. It's a good way to bookend it.
His web connects them all. So anyways, 2024 Boston Red Sox. A big piece of news just came down on St. Patrick's Day on Sunday. That morning, Alex Cora confirmed that Mr. Josh Winkowski, not a starter. At least to start here.
That's a liberal
raise
use
it.
Of
raise
big
it.
Piece of news.
That's about, Jake, until Jordan Montgomery signs, that's the biggest piece of news that we're going to have, you know. That's Jordan the biggest Montgomery. We've had in quite some time.
I don't give a fuck about Jordan Montgomery anymore.
I haven't thought about him in like a week now.
Should we talk
I think
about
it's
that?
Over.
You guys want to talk about that?
Rehash some more Monty talk?
No, I just how I think I'm over it. I simply don't care anymore. It's like, yeah, would he be a good fit? Sure, but
at this point, he's not making an impact.
It's like
until Memorial
off.
Day.
I mean, it's March 18th. We're recording this. Like, come on. Now.
Yeah,
right, to me, it's even wilder that Snell's still out there. Like, he just won the Cy Young. Well, that's got to be all Boris. I know we talked about this.
He's washed.
We could talk in circles about our goat being washed, but.
Cespedes Family Barbecue called the Montgomery Boston connection the world's most boring will they won't they of all time.
It really is.
And it's like, come on. At some point, because I think we've said this on the pod. I think we said this like a week or two ago. But everyone like in the national media circle is saying like, oh my god, like Boston's still the front runner. This, that, the other thing, and then all the local people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. this is.
Well, I and this has been written about as well, but like with where things are at with Montgomery now, it continues to make even less sense with the Red Sox, because it's like, why would they give like a 1 year deal with an opt out or whatever? That does nothing for them realistically. Or you know what I mean? A multi-year deal with opt-outs, like the Bellinger thing or something like that. Like, that doesn't – that's not worth it for the Red Sox, because, like, we'll need
a reliable starter
for several years.
Like,
yeah, so yeah. I don't want to ever talk about him until he signs again. I'm over it.
Because we've had this conversation 15 times this offseason regarding Montgomery. Unless people really like the Montgomery part, hey, like, you know, play the hits, you know what I mean? Like, people are yelling at us, like, Freebird, Montgomery, play it.
Talk about Monty again.
Speaking of free agent pitchers, I'd love to talk about Trevor Bauer. Can we do that?
Oh, no.
No. But, like, it's funny.
Just that he needs to get a job.
Just that he's unemployed.
Get a job.
He's going to put on the... He needs to do what people do on LinkedIn with like open to work.
Open to work.
Steve, if you whip that up, you're going mega viral tonight.
Yeah, that's 20,000 likes. Another one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There you go. I mean, listen, I don't know. I think it's mostly funny now, the Trevor Bauer. It's like he's just out there pitching on the backfields every day like some bum. Get a job. Go to Japan or something.
Get that thing off the road, bro.
Yeah, like what? I don't get it.
He's trying to gas it up.
I tweeted something along the lines of this, but I think the funniest part of all of this is if he was just like not a weird freak. All the like legal stuff aside. And listen, worse players than Trevor Bauer have had teams look the other way,
right,
with stuff like this. Like, it's not a new phenomenon. But the thing with him is he's just so fucking annoying that nobody wants to put up – like if he just stopped posting – one of our best posters, by the way. Like, he'll post till the sun blows up. Doesn't matter if it takes away – yeah, it doesn't matter if it ruins his career. He just will not stop posting, and I think it's like he's just simply not worth the headache.
God, I didn't realize he's going to be 33 this year, too.
That's my point, Liam, here. He's not like this spring chicken, you know what I mean, who's like still like all this potential ready to roll. Like, no, it's, you know, it's...
Wouldn't you go just sign, like, Urias if you were like, blind to this? And like, he would be the first choice, right? He's younger and better.
We haven't heard anything about him.
Is his career just over? I don't know.
That's what I'm assuming. There hasn't been a peep.
But my point being, if you're a GM and you're just like, I don't care if a guy is, a
piece of shit. Yeah.
Let's go. I'll take the young and good one instead of this.
The one that's wicked annoying and
one that won't stop posting clips on YouTube.
Yeah, it's.
Can I just say
in his thumbnails.
Something I fucking hate, and this is broader than Trevor Bauer, and he's evil, but other guys that aren't evil do it. I hate that athletes like post on YouTube and stuff now. That you shouldn't do that as a professional athlete. Like go play your sport. Don't be a weird YouTuber.
Old man Mullinger.
Bro, he's a creator. He's a creator. No, show some respect.
Like the, you know, what does Draymond say?
You just praised him for being a great poster.
Well, he's a great poster in the sense that like he'll never log off. Like,
but you're yelling at him to log off.
Well, I'm saying because he's he's really not a professional athlete at the moment. Former professional athlete, Trevor Bauer. No, like, I just can't stand, like, what today? Today JJ Redick and LeBron announced another podcast. Like, guys.
Sports business.
I'll tell you what, no sport, I mean, I think there's, you know, us included, there's too many podcasts. No sport has an epidemic like basketball. Like bench guys.
Everybody's
have podcasts.
Got one. Everybody's
it's too
got
much.
One.
There's no way that like I need to hear what Peyton Pritchard has to say. You know,
I does
think
he
does
have one.
I think he actually does. Yeah, Podcast P. Oh no, that's excuse me.
Podcast P would be Paul George. Yeah,
yeah
Playoff P.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, I think Pritchard did. But anyway, yeah, it's too much. Athletes should have some like mystery about them. You know.
Yeah, we don't have to know everything about what's going on in the mind of Draymond Green.
No. The monkey symbols clapping up there. That's a as a Simpsons reference.
Yes. Yeah, they're doing the backflip there. So anyways, yeah, Josh Winkowski. He is
in the pen.
He's in the pen. There are some things I want to talk about with that after the break, though, but we do have to take a commercial. We'll be right back. We're back. Pawn on Lands Down. Jake, Fitz, and Liam coming at you. Again, less than 2 weeks until opening day. That's a perfect time for you to follow us all on Twitter, the app formerly known as X. At Pawn on Lands Down, I am at Fitzy Mopania. Jake is at Jake Wallinger. Liam is at LiamFennessy_. It's also a good time to give us a call to our voicemail line. A reminder that we do have a voicemail line. If you have a question, comment, concern, you want to say how awesome my hat is, or how awesome Jake's hat is, his green hat, how awesome Liam's invisible green hat is today, you could do so. Call us at 617-420-2431. Again, 617-420-2431. Gentlemen, second time here trying to get into the Josh Winkowski news. I'm curious to see what tangent we get on at this point. starting the season in the bullpen, I think it's probably for the best for Winkowski to be there. In 2022, made, I think it was like, what, 14 starts in 22? ERA over 5. He wasn't great as a starter. Emerges last year as a pretty consistent part of a bullpen that was like the one major bright spot of an otherwise pretty shitty season. You know, he saw his velocity on his sinker get up a tick or two, way better with the location. The cutter became a pretty damn good offering for him, and probably his best put-away pitch in 2023. I think it makes sense for Winkowski to start the year in the bullpen. I know he was, some comments he made in spring training, he was talking about, oh yeah, it's really important for me to get into the rotation. Of course, it makes sense. Competitive guy. You know, he wants to be in that mix. But for the betterment of the team, I think he's a great multi-inning swing guy to come out in relief. And you know, I'm happy he's starting there. Maybe he gets a shot to be a starter at some point down the line, but at least for right now, Liam, I'd say this probably suits Winkowski best to be out of the bullpen.
I think it's best for him. I think it's best for everyone involved, quite frankly.
We're all better people for it.
I think everything plays up for him out of the bullpen. I'm totally fine if he's, you know, kind of plays that swingman role if they really want to stretch him out a bit. Like we saw him do two, sometimes three innings last year. Like I'm totally fine with that, but he's not a guy with a deep enough repertoire.
His bag is not big enough.
The bag's not big enough. We already have several other guys with better stuff ahead of him, yet, you know, who also have the same issues where, you know, you can't really get through five innings with them, but their stuff leads me to believe they're better suited for a rotation spot as opposed to Winkowski.
Well, you mentioned some of the stuff with Winkowski. Another thing he's mentioned in spring training is the continued development of whether you want to call it a slider. excuse me. Great audio experience.
Heavens, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Gee willikers. The continued development of his slider, sweeper, whatever you want to call it, that breaking sort of a pitch, to mix that with the cutter and the sinker. You know, three positive offerings you can give him, even if it's just as a reliever. I would like to see that continued development. But, I mean, yeah, you talk about raw stuff. I mean, something like a Garrett Whitlock changeup is very pretty when that thing's working. When Houck's got his own slider working, that's a doozy. So you talk about pure stuff. Yeah, I could see what you mean there.
I frankly had no idea why this was a conversation to begin with. It felt
really never made sense to begin with. I understand like our starting pitching depth isn't great. I mean, Cooper Criswell is probably going to be the fifth man in the rotation on opening day.
You think so?
But I think so, right?
I think it's going to be Houck and Whitlock. I think it's, you know, the guys that we're already sort of used to at this point.
I mean, Whitlock did look really good his last time out.
And Houck's been great in the spring.
And Houck's been sharp. I don't know. I still don't know how the rotation's shaking out. It still terrifies me. I think everybody's better out of the bullpen. You know, same story, different day. I wish we had, you know, a solid 2 or 3 starter.
I mean, and I'd bring his name up again, but we just said we're done talking about
we're done.
Him.
We're done.
So I'm not even going to say his name.
I can't do it anymore.
Because it could solve so much else. You know what I mean? Because I think if you're talking out of the remaining candidates, Criswell, Whitlock, and Houck, as much as we've liked to poke fun at some of his third time through the order, 15.5 ERA, Houck's probably the leading candidate there out of that trio of guys left.
Well, the real problem here is that two of the three have to slot in.
Yeah, I understand, like, but what I'm saying is, if you did get persona non grata that we're not going to say on the podcast, not going to bring it up, then that fifth slot just automatically goes to Houck. It makes life so much easier. But that's why it's not going to happen, because it makes too much sense.
Yeah.
We should just clip that.
I can't believe we're doing this again.
Jonah, like, clip those 5 seconds of Jake going, we're gonna tweet that and say the pot on lands that experience.
I know that we're rebuilding, and I know that we don't want to go toss bags at guys, but I cannot believe we're doing this for the second, really the third year in a row. But last year got to a point, you know, August, September, we were getting, you know, like, homophobes and whatnot.
Matt Dermott, shout innings, out.
Throwing innings for us.
The
and
GTA
it's just,
crime I, list being rolled down
yeah,
for
I just cannot believe. And I know that Giolito going down does not help things, and that was supposed to be a solution. But even if he was healthy, we'd still have that fifth spot being somebody that ultimately should be a reliever. So
yeah, someone who has question marks of their own one way or the other.
Yeah, so I just kind of can't believe we're doing this again.
If I were to take an optimistic look at this, because I want to try to be as optimistic as I can, Whitlock specifically, I know he's had his own struggles as a starter. He's also been banged up the last two seasons. It sounds like he's coming into 2024 with a clean bill of health. Maybe that's what he needs to get right back onto the wagon, and maybe he can consistently perform as a starter with that in mind. He doesn't have, I mean, what was he dealing with? He had the hip issue was a thing. I think he had something with his elbow last year. It was a whole thing, you know, the last two seasons, 22 and 23 for Whitlock. But if he can come in this year healthy, relatively speaking, I don't know. Maybe. Listen, I'm trying here, fellas. I'm trying to
Fitz,
find a
you know what I think you're trying to say? You know what I think you're trying to say, Fitz? You never know.
Speaking of
that's the thing. You do never know.
Which I guess is another. Are we seeing Kenley on opening day?
I don't.
He had another setback earlier.
I really don't care at all.
Cora was like, we're running out of time.
I could not care less.
What's our all-star last year? That's like lone all-star.
Yeah, here's a hot take that I've been sitting on, hoping to leave it until he gets traded, but I guess that's not happening now. I don't enjoy watching him pitch. Like, I find it a very unpleasant experience.
How so? Just like, you know.
I think his delivery is legit nauseates me. It's really disgusting.
Kind of cocked back a little bit, like,
yeah,
like
it's really gross. It's like the least fluid thing I've ever seen. Sometimes the problem with his
cutter,
like
the aesthetic of Kenley Jansen,
yes, yeah, but also the problem with his cutter is that there's days he'll come in and he just simply does not have it, and then he kind of sucks if he doesn't have that. Like, he never has a plan B pitch, which is a real issue. Like, if he doesn't have that cutter, he just gets lit up and we have to fucking deal with it. Like, there's no, it happened several times last year.
We've had a couple closers like that in hindsight, like Kimbrel, who I am a little bit more of a Kimbrel apologist than the average bear, I've come to find out. But Kimbrel's whole thing, you would know if it was a good day or a bad day for Craig Kimbrel based on the very first pitch. if there was some late lightning on that fastball, it's like, okay, you know, Craig's got it today or something like that. But if he just horribly misses for ball one and you know, looks, the shape of the fastball looks flat or something, you're like, ah, oh boy, this could be a long day.
Yeah, and I also, not like, aside from him as a pitcher and as my feelings watching him pitch, his fit on this roster, like with the way the team is constructed and the money is out, is just also bizarre. Like, to have a $16 million a year closer, on this team is really strange. And I'm curious if those trade talks stalled or what ended up. I think it's really weird he arrived to camp as a Red Sox. Like, that, I was extremely surprised.
Because, like, you don't think that, like there's got to be some contending teams that could have, even with the $16 million a year tag, there had to have been some teams potentially interested in it.
That's what I mean. And, I mean, we heard there were. It wasn't. We heard what, the Dodgers and
We were linked with the Dodgers
someone
and
else, one other team.
The Phillies, there were, the Phillies name was being tossed around a little.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just really surprised, like, he's here. I don't know. I mean, if he's healthy, you would obviously would just trade him at the deadline, I imagine. But yeah, he also gets hurt a lot. I feel like he's in terrible shape, just in general. He's kind
he's
of
a
like
big dude. He's
a big dude, but he his mecha- what I don't is know. This I just I don't enjoy season? Watching him pitch. I'm sorry to say. I'm sorry to say.
Well, you might not have to for very much longer.
I guess.
Not in Boston, at least.
And that pen is good, too. I don't get it. I don't get how they didn't trade him. Maybe nobody wanted him.
I mean, the price tag, the age, like.
You need two to
tango. The fact that we don't have a ton of leverage when it comes to him, I guess.
Yeah. Anything else? What's, like, something really eating both of you about this upcoming season?
I could get into that question that I was going to ask you.
What was that?
Like, the biggest X-factor player on the team. If there's one player on the 2024 team that, like, the team will go as this player goes. If they're good, could really raise the ceiling a bit. If they shit the bed, then it's a big problem.
I mean, it's Story, right? It's got to be.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Not who I thought originally off the top of my head, but yeah, that I do.
I think it's Story because I feel like you have the biggest range of possibilities there. We know what Devers is for the most part. Casas, I'd be surprised if he didn't get even a little better. Duran was my other answer, but I also am pretty confident in him. He's had a pretty good spring when he's played. I like what I see from him. I think it's Story. Yeah.
That makes sense. Might be swaying me on this. The guy who came to mind for me, just given the woes of the rotation, but also given how well he pitched in the second half last year.
Cut?
Pivetta.
Oh, well, yeah.
If Pivetta at least could give you some stability in the first half of the rotation. Yeah, he only goes once every 5 days, you know what I mean? But that is, I mean, even if Story isn't totally up to snuff, this year, I mean, at this point, it's.
I'd fucking hope he
Story.
Is.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But there are still other guys in the offense who could still carry the load. This was still a solid offense last year, even without Story being in the mix consistently. You know what I mean. But the biggest issue was starting pitching last year, and Pivetta, as he goes, he has ups and downs. But second half last year is primarily all ups. So if he can. Do that. I'm not even saying like strike out 27 guys. Like
I am.
That time in Oakland.
I am saying that.
Yeah, you're often saying this. 13.
He doesn't have to go crazy like he did that night in Oakland or whatever it is. But
have we heard if he's just gonna start games out right now? Have they dropped the whole the Bernardino?
Bernardino's making the team just because he has to pitch the first inning for him.
I like that. I thought it was great fun, but. I understand
I enjoy that.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah, I was writing the blog for on the Winkowski thing Sunday, and I was just looking through the 2023 stats, and I'm like, was Pivetta hurt? He only made like 11 starts? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I also think it's way cooler when a pitcher comes out of the bullpen to enter a game. That's 1,000 times cooler than a guy just jogging out of the dugout.
Makes the long run out.
Starting pitchers should just enter from the pen, like to start the game.
Like Royal Rumble?
I mean, they're warming up out there anyway.
Yeah, like, but then they come back and sit in the dugout, and then they go in.
For
but
5 minutes.
I think
minutes.
That's dumb. Yeah, they should just come in from the pen. It's way. They get a cool song if they do that. It's way better.
I mean, they still get their song while they're warming up in the first inning.
Yeah, but the whole team's warming up, so it's not the same.
The whole team still warms up.
If they get the run in, it's their moment.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think so.
Or just bring back the cart and let everybody use that. That's the other.
Yeah, get it out from the gate there on Jersey.
Are there any teams in the AL East that use it?
The cart?
Why do I feel like Tampa probably uses it, like the bullpen cart?
There's probably no traction on that turf. That's dangerous down there.
Yeah, you hit a little bit of a swerve, that thing's going
to
be drifting.
They should just let the pitcher drive the cart to come in. Like, why do they need a chauffeur?
Who's going to hop in after that?
Fucking
though?
Licenses? I don't.
They're just going to leave it on the field.
Something? I don't know.
Leave it in the on deck circle.
They can come in, you know, like another reliever can ride in with them, and then they drive it back.
Well, the problem is that, like, if you get a really unhinged pitcher. And, you know, why are they driving past the mound? Why are they driving towards the plate? And all of a sudden, Juan Soto just got hit by a cart. You know what I mean?
I could see Papelbon just flooring it, like, into the other team's dugout.
Yeah.
Over the rail. Or when there was no rail. That's crazy, by the way. To watch old games and the dugout just has no fence in front of it.
It was a big deal when they put that in at Fenway. They were like, oh, my God. What are they doing?
Insane now to not have that.
Well, we want to make sure that, like, people don't potentially die.
Also, it's way better for the players to like be able to lean on it, you know?
That's, yeah, as opposed like, to like sit on it and like not have anything to lean up against. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think to answer your question, though, Fitz.
Which question is this?
The X Factor.
Oh, the X Factor.
Because you guys have mentioned everyone that came to mind. Like, I first thought of Duran, then I went to Story. But I think someone we haven't mentioned, and who's putting together quite a nice spring, Robert Dahlbeck.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, he has to make the team first.
I meant, but seriously, though, Connor Wong. If they can
get,
you know, just league average bat out of him, it makes the lineup so much deeper. You don't have to rely on Reese McGuire as much. Like,
doesn't even have to be league average. Like, even if it's a little below average. With his cannon behind the plate, I'll take it.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, tread water with the bat, and he's shown he can do it in spurts. Like,
he's playing for a job, too. I mean, not for nothing. Like, we get towards the summer, and if Teal keeps hitting and playing good D, he's not.
Well, I don't think he's playing for a job. I feel like his roster spot is safe for the next two, three years. But, you know, I agree. Yeah. Like,
playing
once Teal's here, Teal's probably the starter.
Yeah, him being the righty and then Teal being the lefty, I think Wong, at the very least,
nice fit.
Ride through his arbitration or, you know, around that time, I think he'd still be on the roster.
Hey, championship teams are made up the middle. So we can get something out of the catcher position this year. Makes the lineup look a lot deeper. Because for me personally, I don't know what you're getting in the bottom half of that order. If it's going to be like Valdez and Reyes and, I don't know, I guess Abreu. Like, I think Abreu will hit. We saw what he could do in September.
Ugly
but
spring.
Like, you don't know.
Ugly,
you don't
ugly
know.
Spring
yeah.
out of Willier. I'll tell you that.
And also, you don't, like, is he going to be in a platoon with O'Neill or whoever it might be, you know?
Grissom, his hammy's busted up.
Mid-April, I heard from Cora.
Yeah,
for him,
what's
right?
that about?
Yeah, what's up with that?
What's up with that?
That's going to be so annoying, like, because Sale's looking pretty nice so far for Atlanta.
Listen,
it's going to be
I've
so annoying
this,
to hear
I've
that
this.
Revisionist
Sale could
history
win the Cy Young this year. I really don't care.
Yes, thank you,
I'm just
Jake,
glad my hands are clean. Well, they're actually not clean. We're still paying him. But metaphorically.
Just for the one year, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fine.
Thank
I really,
you for some sanity
I,
on that.
I simply don't care.
It's going to be insufferable.
He could have a 9-WAR, 300 strikeout. He starts all 32 games. I don't care. It's fine.
because we weren't going to re-sign him for there. And even if he did that here in Boston, how much of a difference would that make?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you would be able to get a couple more wins out of that. But there's still questions with the rest of the rotation. Which I know that goes against what I just say, why Nick Pivetta is such a big part of the team. But if you're thinking that in the back of your head, then shut up. You didn't hear that. No. Point is,
he really looks like a Brave though. It's a good. He fits on that team.
Good aura.
I don't know about aura, but he just looks like he belongs.
The jersey fits him. Fits him well.
Yeah. Well, here's a little joke for our jerseys. Never fit him well, frankly.
Folks.
Tip your waitresses. Try the veal. All right. Let's take a step aside. Let's take another break. When we return, We'll talk about SETI. We'll figure it out.
Let's talk SETI.
More optimistic talk by bringing up SETI. I like that. Yeah. SETI after the break. We're back. Pot on Lansdowne. Talking SETI. He does make my heart smile a bit. I again, Liam, you just mentioned championships being built up the middle. Again, I think so much of his season for 24, like, it's, I don't know how to phrase what I'm going to say. It's important for him to get off to a really good start, I think, at the plate. Because if he can even just tread water there offensively in the first 100 ABs of the season or something like that, get used to that, get acclimated while he's adjusting again to major league pitching at the start of a new year, I think that would go a long way towards him, you know, being a consistent member of the roster going forward. I would really love to see him get off to a nice start. It doesn't have to be, you know, this blazing hot start, just consistent enough, because I'm not worried about the glove wherever you play him. But at the plate, just a solid enough of a start, I think that would go a long way for Rafaela.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, because I know we wanted to be positive here. 2 weeks ago, we talked about SETI, and I had brought up the fact that he had walked as much in spring as he had.
Is he not walking anymore?
He has not taken a single walk since we last talked about him 2 weeks ago.
He's hitting bombs, though. He's hitting bombs.
Hey, I mean,
yeah, you can't hit bombs if you're taking walks, dude. You know what I mean? You can't.
Three true outcomes. That's SETI.
That's right. That's fine. Like, I'll take a three true outcomes guy if he's going to play gold glove defense. I don't give a shit.
You're not wrong.
Like, whatever. I mean,
he has been jumping on the ball, though. Like, if he could just ambush some guys every now and again, I would love that.
That's fine. Just take. Yeah, I'm all in. I've seen enough, frankly. And also, I think I said this last week. Give me some fucking something to get excited about. You know, it's like, it's such a bummer everywhere else. Like, give me a young buck hitting bombs, making diving catches. That's enough for me. I'll tell you what, it must be bad over there in the Red Sox ticket office, because they're doing shit for opening day, bringing the 2014 back. That's some shit you pull out in like the dog days of summer, you know, to sell some tickets. You don't do that opening day.
I don't know.
Opening day? Are you doing? You're doing game two or something?
The first game back at Fenway. Not to get like too dreary here, but I mean, to honor the Wakefield's passing. I get that aspect. Well,
Kurt's invited, so.
I think honestly, they should swap out Kurt's invite for Nomar.
Yeah, technically an 04 team member. You know,
yeah.
You don't get Dave Roberts without trading Nomar, so I'm fine with that, Liam.
That's a fair trade to me.
I think it makes sense for honoring the Wakefields, though, on opening day. But the whole 04 run, I think you have a point there, Jake.
Yeah.
Look, they're not doing the Dave Roberts.
They could just honor the Wakefields. I don't. Are the Dodgers coming to? Oh no, they're not. They came last year. Yeah, I must be bad over. I mean, we've talked about this, but I'm getting emails every day, fellas. Every day they're saying, please buy my seats.
It's like Nancy Pelosi asking for donations.
Yeah. I don't
know. Jake, it's Nancy Pelosi. Have you ordered your tickets for opening day yet?
I wish the ticket emails would be like, Jake, it's Sam Kennedy. Please.
President Henry needs you.
We should. Okay, so have you guys, you've seen the meme about the Pelosi email from, it was probably a year ago, where it's like, I asked you Monday, I asked you Tuesday, I asked you Wednesday. I might have to do that and the Trevor Bauer open to work when we hop off here.
Yeah, those are bangers, Liam.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of like political volunteers taking to the Red Sox ticket office and send out those blast emails and text messages.
It's nuts how like they've been coming fast and furious.
It's not winter. We're not imagining it, right? Because like it wasn't like this last year. Like
no,
I mean,
not at all. Yeah, like, I feel like there's one every 48 hours.
Yeah, no, it's a lot.
I see a tweet from our good friend Santi at Park the Bus. he's getting an email every morning.
I mean, here, let's see. What's the most? Okay, yeah, there was 1:30 today. It was the join us for opening day, and then before that, I got one. I got one yesterday, and I got one on the 15th. And then before that, it was the 11th. So actually 4 days. That was a big gap for them. But, oh, I'm sorry. The Red Sox ticket office emailed me the 14th. So I lied. It's a lot.
I'm sorry I'm distracted here. I'm just looking up some of these political donation text messages, and they are unhinged.
Hey, you're good, Fitz.
Here's one, ready? And it's both, it's left and right. It's President Trump. Wow, Nancy ripped my speech. She truly hates America. Let's post a huge fundraising number. All caps. Any gift, 2x matched for 1 hour. Donate now. John Henry sending out messages like that. Wow. Liam, Brian Cashman ripped my speech.
I had a question for Liam, but he seems to have run away. Oh, he's coming back. Hold on. Let's see here. Hold on.
I'm back. So still blowing mucus.
What's going on?
Oh, gosh. From a week ago. Yeah.
Hey, where'd you find that picture of John Henry strumming? Where'd you find that playing guitar?
It was literally just on Linda's Instagram story the other night.
Oh, of course.
That's my girl.
How about John Henry having a son that's like 10? That was a surprise.
Have we ever seen him before? Because this feels like the first winter I've ever
seen. I was entirely unaware that kid existed.
Same. At first, I thought it was like one of Brady's kids.
Tom Brady's kids?
Yeah, he does kind of look like him.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
If any of our listeners, I don't know, look him up. I don't know. This is not great podcast material.
Yeah, this is not an audio medium. Anyway. But it hasn't stopped us before. It's not going to stop us now.
I was just surprised to see John Henry had a young son. That was surprising me. I guess when you're a billionaire, you can, you know, you can make it work.
Linda's probably 20, 25 years younger than him.
Should we just do an hour?
I thought you were
going to
say 20
Should we just do an hour
general?
On how John Henry was able to procreate at the age of 62 or whatever?
It's actually not his child. It's a clone.
Ow!
Yeah, Steven Tyler.
100,000 units ready with 1 million more on.
Okay, wait.
John Henry flying to Camino.
He's 74. I mean, he probably had that kid when he was 60. You don't do that. That's tough. That's tough.
Jedi Master Smiley Ball put in the order.
Pouring rain on Camino, and you can see the Sitco sign in the background.
It's just Fenway on a Friday night from last year.
Nothing nice. I wasn't thinking that we were going to get an Attack of the Clones reference on the show this week.
Hey, shout out.
I know, everyone was waiting
John
on bated breath.
John Henry attended but did not graduate from 4 separate colleges.
Really? Which ones?
What a bum.
So he's not a finisher.
Victor Valley College. Well, he is.
It turns out
at
the age of
16, yeah.
Liam, he most certainly was a finisher.
Who would have thought?
Victor Valley College, the University of California, Riverside, University of California, Irvine, and University of California, Los Angeles.
UCLA.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah. Which one's the banana slugs?
That would be UC Santa Cruz. Fitz.
Santa Cruz. Thank you.
Yes.
I knew you'd get that, the Pulp Fiction reference.
Of course.
I knew you'd help me out
of
there.
Of course.
He loves himself the UC system.
He does. Not enough to graduate, though.
I can't. I feel like 74. He looks at least 10 years older.
Oh, hey.
Right?
Come on.
Like 74, I don't know. I mean, growing up, whenever I saw him,
let's
I
be nice.
Said,
let's
you would ask
nice.
Me 10 years ago, I would have said he was. 74.
Yeah, I was gonna. Say, I actually think he's looked 65 for like 30
he's looked
years.
The exact same basically yeah.
his,
as far back
his,
as I can remember.
His Wikipedia photo, it's him from 2008, and he looks like he's 74 in that photo.
Yeah,
like
John Henry looks like. Anytime he's taking a picture, it looks like he's in smiling school and he's learning how to smile. He's working on it.
Is that similar to standing school?
Yes, the very same idea. Yes. Like, look at that smile on the Wikipedia page. Look at that. That's you almost got it, John. You almost got it. But what is this? What is this? Yeah. I mean, Just Google John Henry Red Sox. Is if you just Google John Henry, you're gonna get the folk eyes. Hero John Henry, the steel driving man.
I like that he's not the John Henry that pops when you Google John Henry. He doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, the steel driving man does.
Yeah, that's right,
dude. It's
and then he died.
He did, yeah. But you know what? He did it to build that tunnel. Man, he beat that machine. Shout out John Henry, right. Other John Henry, not Red Sox John.
The real John Henry.
Yes. Dude, like, are you kidding me with this? Again, John Henry Red Sox, just Google it, and then he can't smile. I understand the blue light isn't helping. It's embarrassing.
This is John Henry's Mr. Cheddar moment.
We need to show this to Carabas.
Do we think John Henry or Tom Werner are more like normal?
I'm going to say John Henry.
You're
going to
say John Henry?
Yeah. Tom Werner worked more with normal? Yeah, I'll never be able to shake that.
Ooh.
See, no.
And Roseanne. And he rebooted Roseanne. So, no, it's not Tom Werner.
Well, it's a bit. Roseanne wasn't insane until recently.
I think it's probably Henry now that I think of it. I was going to play devil's advocate for Werner, but my head, I cannot compartmentalize. I think I used that word correctly. I can't take out the image of him fucking up the Let's Go Red Sox chant. That's such an easy, normal thing. I can't have that.
Do you guys think John Henry treats Werner like a little brother? Like a little shithead little brother?
Gives him a noogie?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, because Werner said Full Throttle, you think Henry, like, went backstage and choked him after, like, Bart? He's like, you fucking Full Throttle, what the fuck is that?
Well, he tried to attack him, but he's like Monty Burns, so like he fell over. But then he fell backwards, yeah. just the picture that Liam sent.
Who did I say Tom Werner? Oh, Gil, right?
Yeah, Gil Gunderson, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulling at his neck collar.
I just can't. I can't believe they've fallen so far. I can't. They could have just continued to bankroll like a normal high payroll and coast up. They're like the most beloved men in the history of the, you know, they broke the curse. They win four rings, these guys, but no, they had to decide to act poor.
Yeah. I mean, what would it take for it to be completely ruined, that image? Cause I don't think it's like complete. Cause at the end of the day, you still did bring the four championships there.
Maybe like if they go, I mean, like
I do think if like De- I think De- if like Devers was gone,
yeah, if Devers like, walked, I think that would have been like people would have started
like
legitimately, yeah, having
to, like setting cars on fire and
that
stuff
discourse,
outside. Yeah, maybe or you know what I hate them.
But not the folk hero John Henry. We like that John Henry.
What'd you call him? Swinging dick?
He's a steel driving man. He's a steel driving man. Swinging.
What is steel driving?
Clearly, he was.
He drives steel. Do you know the story of John Henry?
I watched it in like second grade. I watched.
Well, it's not just the Disney short. Like this is like a centuries old, I believe, or at least it's a very old folk story.
At least since the Transcontinental Railroad.
Yes,
he built the Transcontinental Railroad.
No, it's a story.
Oh, he didn't live.
He died at the end.
Well, no,
he collapsed.
No, I mean he's not. I thought maybe it was a real guy that they
John
like,
Henry
gave,
folklore
gave some juice to.
John Henry is an American folk hero,
like Johnny Appleseed or something. Like he's real, but
yeah. An African American freedman, he's said to have worked as a steel driving man, a man tasked with hammering a steel drill into a rock to make holes for explosives to blast the rock and constructing a railroad tunnel. The story of John Henry is told in a classic blues folk song about his duel against a drilling machine, which exists in many versions and has been the subject of numerous stories, plays, books, and novels. Long story short, Jake, John Henry, steel driving man, he's got his hammer, you know, bing, 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 boom, boom, drilling all those holes and whatnot. In comes this machine that's the fucking cock of the walk. Everyone's like, oh, this machine's so cool. Like, it's going to drill holes way faster. We're going to be able to build railroads way faster. If I'm forgetting a detail or two in the story, forgive me. This is all off the dome. John Henry's like, all right, bet. I'm going to race that machine. I'm still going to beat it. You know why? Because I'm the man. So they go, on your mark, get set, go. They start drilling through it. I think John Henry falls behind a little bit, but, you know, gets the willpower, like all of his strength of his entire existence to come back, win the race, drops dead afterwards.
Not really a feel-good story, huh?
You take from it as you will.
I mean, he fucking dies.
He does die.
I What's the moral of that story? I don't get it.
Keep grinding, baby.
Like, what do you take away? He was the grind set. He was the OG grinder, the John Henry.
The historical accuracy of many of the aspects of the John Henry legend are subject to debate. According to researcher Scott Reynolds Nelson, the actual John Henry was born in 1848 in New Jersey.
So he was real.
I'm learning this right now.
Oh wow! Okay.
He died of silicosis. Is that how you say silicosis?
He's a little wacky.
A silly little guy.
S-I-L-I-C-O-S-I-S.
Yeah, something like that. It's close.
Silicosis? And not due to exhaustion of work. Several locations have been put forth for the tunnel on which John Henry died. A couple different tunnels.
I'm going through the folklore of the United States Wikipedia page, and it is... It'll make your head spin. We go from Revolutionary War figures like Betsy Ross... And then the very next
day, buddy, they won't even, buddy, they won't even let me fuck the flag.
But then you go to like, okay, Paul Bunyan, yes. And then
was he real? Was Paul Bunyan real?
Paul Bunyan was not real.
Are we was sure? He? Hold on.
Calamity Jane, of course.
I don't think he was real. Sorry.
Wait, who's Calamity Jane? I don't know that one.
Martha Jane Canary, better known as Calamity Jane, was an American frontierswoman and professional scout, for her claim of being an acquaintance of Wild Bill Hickok.
Oh.
She's said to have also exhibited kindness and compassion, especially to the sick. I have to zoom back in. The sick and needy. It was from her that Bert Hart took his famous character of Cherokee Sal in the Luck of Roaring Camp.
I'm going to guess that that's racist.
It has to be. There's no way.
It's got to be
Cherokee
racist.
Sal? That's...
Who was... Is Typhoid Mary...
That's got to be racist.
Is Typhoid Mary American, or is that a European deal?
That feels wicked British, Typhoid. But I might be wrong. Typhoid
Mary. An Irish-American cook, apparently.
Typhoid Mary?
Yeah, Mary. Yeah,
she
Mary
got.
Mallard,
she had. She had typhoid. That was.
Oh my god! She believed to have infected between 51 and 122 people. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No. It was bad news. Typhoid Mary. She was bad news.
She was patient zero.
Yeah. This kind of goes hand in hand with. I think we had a conversation similar to this a few episodes ago, where like we need more urban legend, like urban Red Sox legends. I think we have some good inspiration here. Like, I think we could really.
What did I come up with?
Two weeks ago?
Something about the Coke bottles.
Yeah, I think you said they hid bodies in them, or something.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
there's
I like
a dead
that.
Guy in the Coke bottles. That's what I've taken down.
Used as a torture device. What was that ancient torture device where like there was like a bronze bull and you would put someone inside of it and like light a fire underneath the bull's stomach.
Oh yeah,
that sounds terrible.
I know the boats. You know the boats. That was a torture. That
the
was
boats.
Yeah, so they would put. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Oh, first thing the boats. Scafism.
Scafism. Yeah, you want to read it?
Also known as the boats is an alleged ancient Persian method of execution mentioned by Plutarch in his.
Oh, that's
Life
like
of...
the Hunger Games, Plutarch.
Sure.
Right? That's Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's his name in the Hunger Games. Plutarch.
I didn't remember that off the top of my head, but R.I.P. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
There you go. It ostensibly entailed feeding and covering them with and allowing them to
Yeah.
Dude, the Persians knew how to torture people, man. Gosh. Good
Lord.
Yeah.
The first mention is Plutarch's description of the execution of the soldier Mithridates, given as punishment.
He sounds like he's up to no good.
Killed his brother, Cyrus the Younger. So
no!
Yeah, poor Cyrus.
Pit the Elder.
No!
Yell at Sophie.
Yeah, she asked if I needed her when I reacted in terror at the murder of...
Oh, wow. The 12th century Byzantine chronicler Johannes Zonarus later described the punishment. The Persians outvie all other barbarians in the horrid cruelty of their punishments. Mm. So...
I'll tell you what. Places used to have much cooler names than they have now. Like Mesopotamia.
Fire name.
Or like I was reading the other night about Constantinople. I know that has like religious
banger name.
Like connotations. That's probably why they got rid of it. Or not religious, but like the empirical. Like it's the old empire. So they, but yeah. I mean, you know, let's call a spade. That's a hell of a name.
Yeah, just in a vacuum of its own.
Yeah, Constantinople. I mean, hey, I respect the Turks and all they do, but Turkey, I don't know. Or no, Constantinople is in
Istanbul.
Istanbul, yeah. Yeah.
Also a fire name, Istanbul.
Ah, it's no Constantinople.
Yeah, they can. Constantinople is pretty hard, I gotta say.
That's probably the greatest city name ever, I would say, Constantinople.
What was St. Petersburg Leningrad before, if you're talking about big cities changing names? I think.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
America doesn't have any cool names for their cities. I think Chicago's like the only good
name. I was gonna say Chicago's such a fire name.
Yeah, Chicago's really good. I think that's really the only big city that has a great name.
Atlanta. I think that's a good one.
I don't like that.
Because you can do the Gucci Mane Christmas album, East Atlanta Santa. Like that's a good, I like that rhyming scheme of it. And for that I like the name Atlanta. Dude, Memphis? Are you kidding? Memphis is a fire.
Oh, Memphis is fire.
And now, like ancient Egypt originally, like Memphis in Egypt, but Memphis is a sick name.
Okay.
Nashville, if you're going to keep it at Nashville.
Anything with Ville is.
Nashville is a great name for a city. Yeah, Jake.
Oh, yeah, we lost him.
We lost. Yeah, I kicked him out for saying that Nashville wasn't a good name. New York is
good. I like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a cool
Pittsburgh's
one.
Pittsburgh's a good one,
anything,
yeah.
Anything with Berg.
Philadelphia is like the old Greek style name. I like Philadelphia as a name. I don't love the city, but Philadelphia. He's back.
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is.
When's the last time we talked about Red Sox on here? Probably 25 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fine. It's fine.
I don't have anything else for the Red Sox today.
No, I don't either. Again.
Is there really anything else?
It's spring training for us, too.
Yeah, you're going to just have to get used to us talking about Istanbul constantly.
I mean, hey, we just did all this the divisional season previews.
Yeah.
You know, we've been churning out content.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, guys. We are only 45 followers away from 2,000.
Yeah, how are we going to get the pants if that's the case?
We will need somebody to backdoor them for us.
We will need to open a line of credit to.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, let's see. Are they just Nike baseball pants? Right?
I don't know.
Because
it's just Nike's licensing them and then Fanatics is producing them.
Yeah, but so they might just, be like, we, like they may have like meant for like youth baseball or like high school baseball. Like those might be different than what like they do for the pros.
Speaking of Constantinople, you know what was cool? I mean, it's not true anymore, but when the Cubs curse was going on, and it was, I guess, the Red Sox too. But their last World Series wins were during the Ottoman Empire.
That was a sweet fun fact.
Yeah, that was always good to break out. Yeah, because I believe the Ottoman Empire was 1922. It ended. So that
that would have been 1918. Not at the end of, did it last a couple years after World War One?
Fitz, I think it did.
Really?
In the aftermath of World War One, the victorious Allied powers occupied and partitioned the Ottoman Empire, which lost its southern territories to the United Kingdom and France.
You mean to tell me that the UK and France tried to get some territory in the Middle East?
The successful Turkish War of Independence against the occupying allies led to the emergence of the Republic of Turkey and the abolition of the Ottoman monarchy in 1922, formally ending the Ottoman Empire.
Look at you, Jake.
Yeah.
Turkish expert.
Yeah. he's all about Anatolia today.
Favorite basketball player, Enes Kanter.
Enes
Freedom.
Enes Freedom. Thank you, Fitz. That's why I made that noise, because you dead named him, not Enes Freedom for any other reason.
All right, is that gonna do it?
I don't know.
Guys, I did finally see Dune, by the way.
Yeah, Fitz did.
I know Fitz hasn't, but God, what a film! What a film! Yeah. What a picture!
Yeah, we'll do.
My buddy John's seen it 5 times.
I saw his tweet.
Is John guy on Twitter that keeps going back?
Captain Marvel.
No. There's a guy on Twitter that's seen Dune 2
IMAX round 18
25 times. Yeah,
no. He's catching up to him though. It sounds like
he tweeted. Didn't he tweet the other day? He was like, "I'm running out of money." This guy that keeps seeing it. It's nuts.
He's just trying to get that ticket to the Messiah premiere. I respect the hustle.
They got to announce it though. I'm waiting.
Yeah,
waiting. With bated breath.
Should we do oh my god, song
of the week? Ooh. Yes, to keep it with the Irish stuff. I gotta know, it was only St. Patrick's Day. First St. Patrick's Day without Shane McGowan, lead singer of the Pogues, may he rest in peace. Let's go with Rainy Night in Soho by the Pogues. Great song, wonderful song. You could go with any Pogue song though, but
I'm not going Irish, sorry Fitz. Train to London, was listening to a bunch of ELO this over the weekend.
Sorry, your ELO tweet.
ELO, I could go Last Train to London, telephone line.
Evil Woman,
yep,
special
bangers, Living Thing,
awesome bangers.
Oh my gosh.
Oh
yeah, I think Telephone Line's my favorite.
Telephone Obviously, everyone so brings good. Up Mr. Blue Sky, which is great. But...
Sweet Talking Woman. Oh man.
What's it? The it's 5 numbers and then orchestra is the name of it. I think it's the first song on their first album.
But I'll give you my answer. Great Ready record. For this one, guys? A little throwback for you. Little America, for you. Daisy Jane. Mm-hmm. Fucking love that song. That song, fellas, I could be so mentally ill, but that song will bring me to a place of peace the moment I hear it.
That's all you need.
That's all you Hell need. Hell
yeah. It's 10-5-38 Orchestra, 10538 Overture, excuse me, for that ELO song, by the way. But yeah, shout out America.
The band, to be clear, not the country.
Yes, yeah, the Horse with No Name band, yes.
Yeah.
Ventura Highway, another... That's America, right?
Oh, good.
Ventura Highway.
Yeah. Horse with No Name, I always think of Breaking Bad, you know, when Walt's singing it and he gets pulled over.
Caballos de Nombre,
Do you guys... And it's a good...
Yes.
All right, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we got. Horse emoji, if you get to this point.
Sure.
At Pod Links Down on Twitter.
Oh, wait. Do we have anything for John Henry? Do we have a John Henry emoji?
Like a hammer.
Train hammer. I don't know.
Yeah, train hammer. Yeah, you could
cave.
Train hammer horse. Whatever you guys want.
Is there a cave emoji?
Tunnel. Did he die in a tunnel or a cave? Was it? Did it have an end?
Tunnel.
Well, they were making a tunnel.
Oh, so it might have just been a cave though. Does a tunnel need? Does a tunnel? Does a tunnel need an exit and an entry point?
I would say
I think that's what makes it. That's what makes it a tunnel, right?
Right.
So that's
if there's no exit, then
it's just a cave. Just, it has the one. Right?
Okay. No. So all right. Yeah. So that's what I was just trying to establish.
Is it like the question: how many holes does a straw have?
Yeah, it's similar. That is. Yeah.
It's a hot dog, a sandwich. Who knows?
It needs
guys. I don't know if you heard that. It's Die Hard, a Christmas movie. I don't know if you've heard this one before. You know,
have you guys seen the 97-year-old diner?
Still makes Coke the old-fashioned way. workshopping a tweet maybe, as we get closer to Christmas time in 2024. No Country for Old Men. Anton Chigurh standing at the register being, it's Die Hard, a Christmas movie, call it. It's a hot dog sandwich.
Listen, Al-Ghaib. That's my guy. Yeah, I fucking love him so much. Special actor. And he's married to Penelope Cruz. What a life.
Yes. Very what much so. What a life.
You ever seen Collateral?
I have not.
I have not seen Collateral.
He shows up in Collateral.
That's Michael Mann, right?
Yeah, for like 2 minutes. Ooh. It's like one of his first American roles. It's crazy. Anyway.
I need to watch that.
I don't have anything else after that. That was just sort of...
God, that movie's so good, though. Dune. Shout out, Dune.
Yeah, Fitz, you got it. We got to do a cinema on Lansdowne, even if it comes 2 months after the release date.
Yeah, because enough, you know, when it hits on demand. when it hits streaming services.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Jake, are you a Dolby or an IMAX guy?
I mean,
final question.
I usually always see Dolby because Sophie needs recliners. She'll bitch and moan if we don't have recliners.
Be nice.
Yeah, and IMAX doesn't do that. They do.
Yeah, the IMAX seats suck.
Yeah. But I guess Dolby, but not. It's not really my choice. I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I saw Dune in IMAX Saturday. I saw it in Dolby Sunday.
Oh, look at you.
Dolby blew me away.
You get your Spider-Man re-release ticket?
No. I really only want to see two.
I just grabbed two. Yeah. That was what I wanted. Guys, I'm going to share a room with Sydney Sweeney on Friday. Not to brag.
Really? What's happening?
Get her on the pod. Talk Red Sox.
Yeah, Red Sox fan. She's doing like a Q&A that we bought tickets to.
Nice.
Well, then they were free.
Her,
and they
ask
were free
her about the first pitch.
It's through AMC, so.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, shit. I should ask her about the first
pitch. Ask her about the first pitch.
That's good.
Dude, that would bang on the podcast.
I know it would bang. If I can ask a question, I'll do it.
Yeah. That would get us to 2,000 easy.
Yeah.
That's
and then
your job,
she's
Friday.
She's coming
dude.
On the pod.
All right, yeah, I'll go for it. I mean, I don't
then
know.
We could tease that we have a special guest.
All season. No, scheduling conflict. She can't make it.
Yeah, it's like Matt Damon and Kimmel.
Yeah.
Sorry to Miss Sweeney, but we had to push her this one.
So
that would be great.
That's a good bit. Stuff. You know what? Lock that in. That's a bit.
That's just stealing Jimmy Kimmel's thing.
Yep.
Jimmy Kimmel's not funny, so we get to steal it.
Exactly.
All right. I think that is that all we got?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. We just did 30 minutes on American folklore.
Yeah.
and Constantinople.
Yeah. And then, hey, if you didn't like any of that, if you wanted more baseball talk, season preview episode is next week.
I'm gonna quote this on Wednesday and just be like, hey, so just FYI, you could probably stop listening to this at like the 40-minute mark.
If you are a consistent Pod on Lansdowne listener, you know that that's the case. You know that the last half hour will be nonsense.
You're right.
You know,
that's the Pod on Lansdowne difference.
That's the formula, baby. So next week's season preview episode, all of our predictions that are going to age like fucking just the worst.
Spoiler alert. I will not be taking Mr. Manaea first Cy Young this year.
You're also not beyond the segment. We'll just have to read off the picks.
Too.
But
that
you know
too.
Who will be there? Lucy Birch, friend of the program. We'll be here next week. Having her back on. But until then, that's Jake. That's Liam. I'm Fitz. You're you. Talk to you next week. Go Sox and obey your mother.
Obey your mother.
Obey your mother.
the great season. Have fun. And knowing that better times are ahead for the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, bury your mother!